I'm Cheryl Corley, in for Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're broadcasting from Chicago Public Radio. Coming up, you'll tell us more about our coverage, listener questions and comments up next in our Back Talk segment. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and media executive Nick Charles. Now, I may jump in once or twice, but for now, go ahead and take it away, Jimmy.
C-Love, thanks so much. Hey, yo, fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Pretty good, Jimmy.
Good, man. Good.
Well, you know what? Check this out, man. Senator Hillary Clinton still in it to win it, as she sweeps West Virginia, determined to run the race until the brakes fall off. Ruben, what do you think? Is it time for the dip? Why does she insist on staying in the game?
Because you're not getting rid of this woman without a wooden stake and a crucifix, okay? There's no way that she's going to go quietly into that good night. Mm-hmm. The Clintons learned a long time ago that just because 300 newspapers calling you to resign as president, or just because people say that you're down and out, or you should resign or step down or quit, doesn't mean you have to. They reinvent the game all the time. They are not going to quit this game. But what's troubling about what happened in West Virginia, and really what's happening in recent contests, in Indiana included, is that this kind of fomenting of racial division, I think, that the Clintons have been doing is paying dividends in terms of the electorate. I'm no longer so concerned about what Bill and Hillary are saying. I'm concerned about what the electorate is saying and the degree to which you see racism playing out with the common folk.
Nick?
Yeah, 8 years ago, in 2000, it was a Sacramento vote. This year, it's a Dukes Hazard vote. And people in West Virginia, Indiana, Kentucky coming up next week, it seems that these are the kinds of the electorate that people want to get. You know, Clinton is stressing about a certain kind of blue-collar, quote-unquote, white working class vote that Obama cannot get. And a great piece by Ruben Navarrete, who's on the shop, and a great piece by Kevin Meredith in the Washington Post pointed out how the race and racism is bubbling to the surface. And people are acting as though, oh, this, you know, they're surprised about it. But this is what's going to happen when you have a black candidate for the first time who can seriously challenge for the presidency.
A-Train, I've been wanting to get at you about this. Now, everyone's familiar with the story about the guy who did the T-shirt with Curious George, said Obama, 08. I forgot where that was in the country.
In Georgia.
Yeah, that was in Georgia.
Said it was in Georgia. And he was saying that, you know, his grandchild had seen a resemblance. Now, people are crying racism. I'm not so quick to go there. You know, I mean, because correct me if I'm wrong, but there are several caricatures of a George Bush that reference chimps, apes, and monkeys of other sort.
Now,
A-Train, get it. You're on record as an Obama supporter. What do you make of that?
Well, I think someone should go out there, if we're going to depict cartoon characters as presidential candidates, and make a Marge Simpson T-shirt with Hillary Clinton underneath for all the blue hairs that she represents. One of the overlooked stories of the West Virginia night, again, was the, you know, first of all, pundits would have you believe that West Virginia was the mecca of Democratic presidential primaries. And in one fell swoop, Senator Obama made the greatest political chess move of his campaign by bringing John Edwards into Michigan, a state that he did not campaign in, and basically brought the granddaddy of the white blue-collar vote onto his own stage. And I think that was a checkmate move. And Hillary needs to tip her king piece over. Otherwise, she's going to look like a terrible political chess player.
Let me just jump in just for a second. A lot of people think that Edwards' help might have come too late. What do you think?
I think it was actually politically timed perfectly because I think the next best thing that Barack Obama could do is take John Edwards to Florida, the other state that delegates weren't seated, and announce that he is the vice presidential candidate. I think from a political strategic vantage point, that would just be utter genius.
Ruben, you know, I'm not convinced. You know, I think it's too little, too late. Although he's got those delegates in his pocket, you know, so there is that. But what do you think?
There's two ways to argue it. First, you could say that given that John Edwards had such strong support among union members, it would have been swell to have him on board before Pennsylvania, maybe even before Indiana. You know, in that respect, maybe this was too late. On the other hand, I love the poetry of it. John Edwards endorses Barack Obama one day after Barack Obama gets slammed in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And what he is saying there, he said, I'm endorsing Barack Obama because this guy understands in his heart that we need to be one country and not two. Now, who do you suppose he's thinking about there? Hillary Clinton and the Clintons want to divide us into two separate countries at least. And Barack Obama, he says, according to Edwards, wants to unify us into one. So I think it's poetic that here Barack Obama at least walked off with the support of one Southern white male. You know, in fact, it was John Edwards. And I think that the timing in that respect was perfect.
Poetry aside, I'm not feeling it. See, love, bust it.
Well, I was just going to tell people if they were joining us that they're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. And I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Nick Charles, and Arsalan Iftikhar in the barbershop. So take it away, Jimmy.
You know what? Speaking of poetry in motion, Cleveland's own Cavalier, LeBron James.
You.
Told his mother to sit her ass down when she tried to jump into a foul ball scuffle at a home leg of the NBA playoffs. Now, wait a second, fellas. I'm ashamed to admit this. I've been in a similar circumstance with my mom. Although, wait a second.
You were in game four of the NBA playoffs?
No, not quite. But I was in a fisticuffs, and my mother decided she wanted to jump in, and I told her to move out the way. You know, so I can knock this guy down. Well, and I wanted my mom to understand that if she didn't get out the way, somebody was going to get hurt, and I didn't want it to be her.
No,
let's make jump in here.
All I gotta say is it's lucky it wasn't Al Iverson's mom because she would have started swinging. Because she's serious. She's not talking. She's not talking. She's just coming with a blade. Let's go.
Right.
You know, I understand. I think, you know, she's worried about her son, and it's the heat of the moment. I don't think she was really that upset. I think, you know, him telling her what he did in the heat of the moment, because he would never talk to his mom like that, and he's a nice, respectful young man. So I don't make a big deal of it. I think, you know, she's on the, you know, she's maybe sitting too close, maybe three rows in instead of on the floor.
Well,
we should keep moms.
Well, LeBron James did try to clean up what he said to his mother. We have a little bit of audio.
Oh, that's right. We got some tape
from
on
his
that.
Press
Drop
conference.
It.
So this is what he had to say.
Commissioner doesn't care if this is your mother or your kids or anybody. You can't allow fans and players to get involved with each other. You know, I can't afford for my mom not to be at every last one of my games. You know, I can't afford that. So, you know, I told her to sit down in some language I shouldn't have used. You know, thank God today wasn't Mother's Day. It was yesterday. But all I could think about is her, you know, just, you know, because I know my mother. So it's fine. We good. We're good.
So did he clean it up?
Well, I'm the biggest Boston Celtics fan in the world, and LeBron James is the most ridiculous player in the NBA. I love him. He's the greatest. Now, remember, it's game four, NBA playoffs. Paul Pierce of the Boston Celtics on a breakaway by LeBron wrapped himself around LeBron. They started do-si-do-ing into the crowd, and basically Paul was just trying to hold on to him to make sure that LeBron didn't get hurt. Mama James starts yelling at Paul Pierce. Kevin Garnett of the Celtics runs over to Mama James and says, Mrs. James, we're just playing. She has to understand this is the playoffs. This is the NBA playoffs. This is winner go home. It's not junior varsity in the Pee Wee League no more.
Hey, here's a question I have for the fellas. Yo, did this make you think any less of him for having to check his mother like that? Let's start off with Ruben. Go ahead.
No, not at all. I think it was kind of a cute story and, you know, harmless in the overall, but I'm not sure if it's a story about a sort of stage mom who wants to get involved in her son's activity in this case, and it happens all the time, or whether it's about, you know, this kind of improper language and a lot of people watching this and sort of saying, wow, this is curious how NBA players talk to their mamas on Mother's Day or the day after Mother's Day. I think it's probably more about a mother who just got a little enthusiastic, but people do that all the time. There was a story recently in San Diego here about, believe it or not, a mother at a suburban soccer game. It got so testy that she pulled out a gun.
Oh, snap.
Wow.
So now we have pistol packing mamas in the suburb.
That's her name.
Get in here, man.
You have to leave that mother alone.
My thing about it, the thing is that I don't think it's a big deal. I think what is a good example of is the fact that the Celtics, their whole tactics and strategy against LeBron was to rough him up. And I think she has seen that, like all of us have. She's looking at a series and saying, wait a minute, you guys started this in game one, this is game four, and you guys are still doing it, get off my son.
You know what I see? That the media, since LeBron James had gotten signed all those years ago, they have been focused on the way LeBron's relationship with his mother and how she's kind of this, she's his personal cheerleader. She's been his personal cheerleader all these years. And I have to co-sign that. I don't co-sign her, you know, going to my man's office, which is essentially his office, and you know, getting up on his desk and try to show him how to do his business, you know, because sometimes you got to let your baby be a man. But, you know, that's his mother. She needs to be in the front row with cheering on her son. I'm down with that. Go ahead,
well,
C-Love. Give
all
it.
I was going to say, it was just a very entertaining moment, at the least. And we had another entertainer in the news this week. And it seems like he will be in the news for quite a while. R. Kelly and his trial, which began this week in Chicago.
Yeah, 14 counts of child pornography stemming from an infamous sex tape that leaked onto the streets. Now, I'm probably the only person on this panel that has seen the entire tape. You know, I'm not bragging, but just in the interest of reporting, I watched the whole tape. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe I witnessed anything on that tape that he will be convicted of. Now, Arsalan, I'm going to tell you why, A-Train. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Because we cannot carbon date a videotape. And there is no way to determine how old or how young that young lady is, certainly without her cooperation. And she is not cooperating.
Well, being from Chicago myself, again, for years we've always had this discussion, who's better, R. Kelly or Common? Well, guess what? Common won. And R. Kelly just needs to put his key in his own ignition if he believes he can fly and go trap himself in a closet in Tahiti or somewhere.
Oh, that's C-Love. Very good. You worked C-Love. In all of those song titles.
C-Love, go ahead and get some of this.
Well, all I'm going to say is just to set the record straight for people who might not have heard of this story, although I can't imagine how not, that R. Kelly is accused of videotaping himself having sex with a girl as young as 13 at the time. And of course, he's pleaded not guilty. And if he is convicted, he faces up to 15 years in prison.
Thank you for reminding us about that. Nick, will he be convicted?
He will be convicted not because there's any legality in the fact that you can't carbon date the video and tell if she's 13, 16, 15, or 25. He'll be convicted because people are going to be morally outraged when they see the video and what he asked to do. If it's allowed for them to see the video, what he did in the video. And he may get convicted in that. Now, whether it's legal or not, I don't know. But the fact is people are going to be turned off by what went on in the video, and they're not going to give a rat's behind how old she was.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what, man. Let this be a lesson to you. However you get down in your own private home, keep the video camera off. And with that...
You're talking about yourself, right, Jimmy?
No, I am not talking about myself. And with that, we're going to have to call it a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, fellas, thanks so much again for coming. And I got to kick it back to the host sitting in for Michelle Martin.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel, a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com, joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete, who writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com, joined us from KOGO in San Diego. Nick Charles is the Vice President of Digital Content at BET.com. He joined us from our New York Bureau. And Arsalan Iftikhar, a civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine, joined us in our Washington studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.